Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these hypocrites, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم, addressing his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that seek forgiveness for them or do not seek forgiveness for them. For who? For the hypocrites. And this is the punishment of the hypocrites, that whether you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness for them or you do not seek forgiveness for them, it will not make a difference. Because in تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً, even if you were to seek forgiveness for them 70 times, فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, Allah will never forgive them. Meaning, even if you seek forgiveness for these hypocrites, it will not make a difference. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Munafiqun, verse number 6, that سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَسْتَغْفَرْتَ لَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, it is all the same to them, whether you seek forgiveness for them or you do not seek forgiveness for them. لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, Allah will never forgive them. So it appears as though a choice is being given, that seek forgiveness for them or don't seek forgiveness for them, but it is clarified that no, even if you were to seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will never forgive them. So this is ikhbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing in clear terms that there is no forgiveness for the hypocrites. No forgiveness for the hypocrites. Why? Because of the things that they do and the things that they say. Now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that even if you were to seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Does this mean that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought forgiveness for them more than 70 times, Allah would forgive them? No, the word 70 over here is used for takthir, meaning to show a great number. It's not the number 70 that matters, but it just shows that a huge number. Okay? Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking forgiveness for someone, this is huge, right? This is, in other words, shafa'a, to intercede for someone. But it shows here that even the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not benefit those who are hypocrites. A lot of people rely on the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the intercession of the righteous. We don't rely on intercession. Remember that. We have hope that through intercession, we will be benefited. We will be forgiven. We have hope. But we don't say that, oh, do whatever we want and then the intercession will suffice. Because the intercession of any intercessor can only help if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. So there are people for whom the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be accepted. And there will be others for whom the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be accepted. So why is it that the istighfar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not benefit the hypocrites? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reason. The reason is, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that is because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And remember, nifaq, that is i'tiqadi, that is in the heart, that is in one's aqidah. Okay, it is in the heart. It is what? It is kufr. It is disbelief. Remember I told you about two types of nifaq. Nifaq amali and nifaq i'tiqadi. So nifaq amali, in the actions, yes, it is dangerous and a person must make tawbah. But nifaq, that is in the heart, that is in one's belief, i'tiqad, this is kufr. And when a person commits kufr, then the istighfar of others does not benefit them, right? Like the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he was the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam was prohibited from seeking forgiveness for him. So, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Who are الفاسقين? Fasiqeen are those for whom fisq has become a fixed trait. Meaning, they don't choose anything but fisq. This is a permanent trait in them. They don't repent from it, they don't leave it. Even when the clear truth comes to them, they reject it. So then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them by no longer guiding them. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And the fisq of the hypocrites is such that even when they are invited, that come, apologize to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will seek forgiveness for you, they refuse. If you remember, earlier also, we have come across verses where the hypocrisy of the hypocrites has been exposed, and then the option of tawbah is given. All right? Later on also, we will see that the hypocrites are mentioned as a group, ta'ifa. Okay? Which means that, yani, among those who remained behind, there were those who repented. But there was still a group among them who refused to repent. When the Prophet ﷺ returned from Tabuk, instead of being honest with him and apologizing, what did they do? They came up with false excuses. And their only concern was a share of the war booty. They continued to lie. So they did not repent. All right? In Surah Al-Munafiqun, verse number 5, we learn, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا. When it is said to them, come, يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will seek forgiveness for you. لَوَّوْ رُؤُوسَهُمْ, they turn their heads. وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ, and you see them stopping, and they don't come. وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ, and they're very arrogant. So the hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here that all evils are combined in them. Okay? On the one hand, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And on the other hand, they are القوم الفاسقين, a defiantly disobedient people. Because you see, a person may be a kafir, they don't believe, but they still have good akhlaq. They don't have fisq in them. They're not dishonest. They're not arrogant. Alright? But then, you see here that the hypocrites combine kufr with fisq. They combine disbelief with fisq, with immoral behavior. So this ayah shows us that if a person themselves, they do not desire forgiveness, they don't have any regret, they don't have any shame, they don't seek forgiveness, then the istighfar and intercession of others also will not benefit them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ, those who remained behind rejoiced. Over what? بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ, they're sitting back. Where? خلاف رسول الله, behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out for jihad. He went all the way to Tabuk. And these people who were left behind in Medina, they were so happy with their sitting back at home. They were happy that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out in the heat, making his way to Tabuk, fighting in the cause of Allah. And they themselves were sitting back at home in comfort. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And what does this show? That they have no love, care, concern for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It shows that they give preference to themselves over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, فَرِحَ, فَرْح is to be happy over receiving something good. Like for example, when you receive a blessing, you're happy, and that happiness should be there. But these people are happy and rejoicing over what? Staying back at home from jihad, as if it was a blessing that they were deprived of doing something good. And there are people who rejoice at the opportunity to do good. And then there are those who rejoice on being deprived from doing something good. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ. And notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them مُخَلَّفُونَ, not مُتَخَلِّفُونَ. Okay, mutakhallif is someone who stays back, chooses to stay back. But mukhallaf is someone who has been left behind. Okay, someone that has been left behind. As if they were like luggage that is not wanted. Okay, like imagine when you travel, you don't take everything of yours with you. You're very selective. There are things that you know you cannot, you need. So you take them with you, and then there's things that you leave behind. And when you leave them behind, you don't think about them, you don't miss them, it's worthless to you, it's not needed, it doesn't have any importance near you. So, yes, these people stayed behind, but in reality, they were مُخَلَّفُون. They are those whom Allah did not give any tawfiq to go forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them the tawfiq to go forth, as if they were pushed away from being in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were deliberately left behind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear earlier, that had they gone out with you, they would have only created more problems. So فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم. مقعد is place of sitting or the act of sitting. قعود. And where were they sitting? Back at home. It doesn't mean that they were sitting the entire time, but any sitting as opposed to standing and walking shows that a person is just, you know, not doing anything. So فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم خلاف رسول الله. Now, it is one thing to be left behind, okay? But it is another thing to be happy about being left behind. You know, there were people who could actually not go for Tabuk, all right? They were not able to go for Tabuk. They could not afford it, or they had some responsibility, some illness, some family. And we learn about this in the seerah, how there were people who would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking permission from him to participate in jihad, but he would not allow them. Why? Because they had elderly parents, right? Or because somebody at home was severely ill. Or, like for example, at the Battle of Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ali radiallahu anhu to remain behind, even though Ali radiallahu anhu did not want to. He's like, you're leaving me behind with the women and, you know, those who are unable to go for jihad. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you are to me like Harun to Musa, right? Musa alaihi salam had to go to Tur and he left Harun alaihi salam in charge. Similarly, Ali radiallahu anhu was left in Medina. Why? So that he would take care of the affairs of the people of Medina. So Ali radiallahu anhu was not pleased with that. It was very hard for him. All right. Similarly, we learn about how the women even understood that jihad fi sabilillah, going out in the way of Allah, this is one of the best things to do. And so they also wished for it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that your jihad is hajj. Anyway, these people, the hypocrites, they rejoiced that, oh, great, we didn't end up going. Great, the army has left and we're at home. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And they have no sorrow in their heart. They have no regret in their heart. They're very happy to not have to do what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing. Then on top of that, وَكَرِهُ أَن يُجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They dislike, they hate to do jihad with their wealth and themselves in the way of Allah. And this is in complete contrast to the believers. Because the believers love to do jihad in the way of Allah. They love to spend their wealth in the way of Allah and go themselves in the cause of Allah. But the hypocrites dislike that. Karihu. Karaha is severe dislike, like hatred for something. So this shows us that among the signs of hypocrisy is that a person dislikes acts of worship, hates them. And then, وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرُ. And they said, do not go out in the heat. So they discouraged others. Before the army left, the Prophet ﷺ was encouraging everybody that go out in the way of Allah. And what were the hypocrites doing? Saying the exact opposite to one another, that don't go, don't go. And they gave the reason, it's too hot. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is urging people to go. And what were the hypocrites doing? Urging people to not go. That don't go out in the heat, because it's going to be very, very hard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ say, نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا. The fire of hell is more intense in heat. And they were warning each other against a heat that is temporary. All right? And the heat of this world is such that a shade can protect you from it. Right? A breeze can bring you relief. Similarly, if it's during the day, the day will end. There's the coolness of the morning and the coolness of the evening that dispels the heat. All right? But the heat of hell, what is it like? It is much more severe. It is the blazing fire. It is never ending. There is no relief, no shade. Nothing can protect from that heat. So what is it that the hypocrites were giving preference to? Temporary, fleeting comfort over what? They wanted temporary comfort of, saving themselves from the heat of this world. And they didn't care about the lasting discomfort, the lasting pain, eternal heat of the fire of hell. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. And how severe is the fire of hell? In Surah Al-Ma'arij, Ayah 15 and 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Kalla innaha lava nazza'atan lishhawa. And just one flame of the fire is such that it removes the exteriors, the limbs of a person. And he burns it within less than a second. Nazza'atan lishhawa. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this, but sometimes when something is exposed to the fire, you don't even see it. You don't even realize it. And how, like, half of it is just gone. Half of it, or more than half of it, is just burned to ashes. You don't even realize how quickly it got burned. So the fire of hell, a flame of it, is such that it will remove the exteriors of a person. Any one flame, a person is exposed to it, and their skin is gone. Their limbs, their hands, their feet, their toes, their eyes, their mouth, gone. This is how quickly it will burn. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that your fire, meaning of this world, is only one part of the 70 parts of the fire of hell. Meaning, worldly fire, if you were to increase that by 69 equal parts, that would be the severity of the fire of hell. And the companion said that, Ya Rasulullah, even this fire of the world would have been sufficient. Meaning, this also is severe punishment. And the Prophet ﷺ emphasized again that it has been increased by 69 parts, each part being like its heat. And the fire of hell is so severe that we learned in another hadith in Ibn Majah that hellfire complained to its Lord, saying that, O Allah, parts of me have consumed other parts. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. And the fire complained to Allah that, O Allah, parts of me have consumed other parts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it two times, two occasions to exhale. And twice. Anyway, the main thing is that نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. There is no comparison. لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. If only they would understand what is of real benefit to them in the world and the hereafter. What will really bring them security in this world and the hereafter. لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. And Az-Zamakhshari says that if a person can endure a small hardship to avoid an eternal and unbearable one, right? And if you know that if you can endure, right now you just endure a small hardship, but enduring this small hardship will protect you, save you from the eternal hardship, then what would you do? What would you do? You would choose to bear the small hardship, right? And if a person does not choose a small hardship, and he says, لا تنفروا في الحر, don't go in the heat, it's too hot, don't go, all right? Then what does this show? That this person is truly foolish. They're foolish. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو كانوا يفقهون. And this teaches us that, sometimes, yes, doing what is right, doing what is good in this world, it is hard. Waking up for salah in the summertime so early is not easy. Breaking your sleep constantly, it can be tough. But when you remember the hardships of the hereafter, then what happens? The hardships of this world become bearable. And the one who does not bear the hardships of this world, then he will be in regret in the hereafter. So we have to strive against our nafs. Don't become a slave to your nafs. That, oh, it's too hot. Oh, I'm too hungry. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, this is too long of a commitment. Don't be a slave to your nafs. You have to push yourself to do what matters. And that means that sometimes you have to sacrifice comfort. You have to sacrifice ease. Like, for example, fasting on a hot day, not easy. Right? Going out to help somebody, not easy. Being consistent with your classes, again, not easy. But you can't let your nafs lead you. You have to lead your nafs. And any time that the heat of the sun bothers you, worries you, and sometimes wearing the hijab in the heat makes it very hard, remind yourself of these words. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. The fire of hell is more intense in heat. When there is temptation to commit a sin, temptation to leave an obligation, remind yourself, نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. So let them laugh a little and then weep much. جزاءً بما كانوا يكسبون, as recompense for what they used to earn. The hypocrites were rejoicing. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقَعَدِهِمْ. They were laughing. They were very happy that, oh, thank God, they've gone and we're here. We didn't get to go. And they were very happy in their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا. Go ahead. You want to laugh? Keep laughing. But this laughing won't last long. ضحك is to laugh. And بكاء, to weep, to cry. So very soon, this laughing is going to turn into weeping. A lot of weeping. When does a person laugh? When they're happy. And when does a person weep? When they're sad, when they're regretful. So being happy over doing something wrong is only going to turn into crying for long. فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبُكُوا كَثِيرًا. So this is a severe warning. And even though this ayah is mentioned as a command, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا, they should laugh, وَلْيَبُكُوا, they should cry, it is a statement, a very emphatic statement, خَبْر, meaning their laughter will be brief and their weeping will be unending. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, as recompense for what they used to earn. Meaning their condition is that they will laugh, that their laughing will be little, meaning just in this world, temporarily, and then in the hereafter, they will cry a lot. So yes, let them enjoy themselves in this fleeting world. Yes, let them enjoy the pleasures of this world and be distracted. But soon, they will be in a painful punishment that will cause them to weep a lot. But then that crying and weeping is not going to help. It's not going to change anything. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And Allah is not unjust to them. Because see, when someone is crying, you feel pity. So the people of hell will cry. They will cry a lot. So don't feel pity because Allah is not being unfair to them. Allah is not doing injustice to them. This is a recompense for what they used to do, for the choices that they themselves made. فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبُكُوا كَثِيرًا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ رَجَعَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَى طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Then if Allah returns you to a group of them, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah returns you, meaning back to Medina from Tabuk, and you go back to Medina, إِلَى طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ, to a group of them. A group of who? Of those who remained behind. Alright? And remember, those who remained behind in Medina from Tabuk were of different categories. Alright? There were those who remained behind because of a genuine excuse. They weren't obligated to go for jihad, or they were granted permission given their unique circumstances, given that they had a valid, genuine excuse. Okay? Then there were those who did not go out of disobedience. Okay? And there were just about 10, and inshallah we'll learn about them. And then there were those who remained behind out of hypocrisy. Okay? And even those who remained behind out of hypocrisy, they were of two types. There were among them those who repented from hypocrisy after the surah, and there were those who did not repent from their hypocrisy even after the surah was revealed. So those who did not repent are the ta'ifa, those who remained behind from Tabuk out of hypocrisy, and they never repented from that hypocrisy, never regretted, never changed their course. So, فَإِنْ رَجَعَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَى طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Now, remember when the Prophet ﷺ was going to Tabuk? It seemed like a very dangerous idea. You're going all the way, 600 kilometers away in this heat, to fight an enemy that is mightier than you, the Romans, so much more fierce, so much more well-resourced, all right? And there will be likely no war booty, no victory and no war booty, all right? So this is what the hypocrites expected, that basically the Muslims are heading to their own annihilation. But what happened instead? When the Prophet ﷺ reached Tabuk, the Romans never showed up. So there was no battle. And the Prophet ﷺ remained there for quite some time. But in that time, what happened? Many different groups that lived in that area came to the Prophet ﷺ. Some entered Islam, some did not enter Islam, but they gave jizya. And they came into an agreement with the Muslims, that they would not be at war with them. They would be under their protection and they would remain on their religion but give jizya. The Prophet ﷺ essentially returned to Medina after having fought no battle but with ghanaim. Ghanaim as in war booty, spoils of war. Okay? So imagine the regret of the hypocrites that, oh, what a missed opportunity. Had we gone along with the Prophet ﷺ, we would have come back safe also, having fought no battle and having gained something of war booty. So then these hypocrites thought, okay, next time the Prophet ﷺ goes somewhere, we're definitely going to go with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear over here that when you do go back and these hypocrites are there and they have not repented, فَاسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِلْخُرُوجِ, then they seek permission from you to go out. فَاسْتَأْذَنُوكَ إِسْتِئْذَان is to seek إِذْن, to seek permission. لِلْخُرُوجِ, to go out, meaning to go out with you on another expedition. And especially they would seek your permission to go for another expedition when they see that it is easy. It's not that far. It's not too hot. The enemy is not too fierce. Right? And the gain seems very likely. Then, فَقُلْ لَن تَخْرُجُوا مَعِيَ أَبَدًا وَلَن تُقَاتِلُوا مَعِيَ عَدُوًّا. Then say to them that you will never go out with me ever again, and you will never fight with me an enemy, any enemy ever again. This is punishment for them, that you will never be allowed to go along with the Prophet ﷺ now for any expedition and to fight any enemy. Why? Because innakum raditum bilqu'udi awwala marrah. Indeed, you were happy to stay behind the first time. Therefore, faq'udu ma'al khalifin. Remain sitting now with those who remain behind. This is the reason. At Tabuk, you were told to go, but you refused. And you were happy to stay behind. Therefore, now, in the future, you will not be allowed to go again on any expedition. And this was the punishment for these hypocrites, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from ever taking them with him in any future expedition or allowing them to fight alongside him. And there's two reasons for this. First of all, Tabuk was the last expedition the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went on. And secondly, this was punishment for their refusing to go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the first time. And this is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-An'am verse 110 that وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, that because they did not believe in it the first time, what's going to happen? We will turn their hearts and their eyes away. And when a person knowingly, deliberately rejects the truth, there comes a point where they fail to see the truth. And this is a very, very severe warning, that when a person is given the opportunity to do something good and they refuse without a valid reason, then what happens? Future opportunities are taken away from them. They become irrelevant. They are no longer needed. We're not needed anyway, but the point is that they lose future opportunities. So the lesson is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a door to righteousness for us, then we should go forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. وَلَا تُصَلِّ, and do not pray. Meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not perform salah, meaning salatul janazah. عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ, upon anyone مِّنْهُمْ, of them. Of who? Of these hypocrites who did not repent. Who has mata, who has died? Abada, ever. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ, nor should you stand at his grave. When somebody would die in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ would perform salatul janazah for them. Alright? And in that, he would seek forgiveness for that deceased person. And if that was not possible, like there were times when somebody died, they were buried, and then it was only after the burial that the Prophet ﷺ found out about their death, or the Prophet ﷺ was out for an expedition and on his return he found out somebody had died and that they had been buried, then what would the Prophet ﷺ do? He would go stand at their grave and make dua for them. Okay? But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from doing either for who? For the hypocrites. Why? إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Because indeed they have disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And you're not allowed to seek forgiveness for those who disbelieve. وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ And they died while they were defiantly disobedient. Again, they combined kufr with fisq. They did not repent from it. This ayah serves as a strong deterrent for others and also humiliation for the hypocrites. Now, the reason for the revelation of this ayah is that when Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was the chief of the hypocrites, when he died, his son came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And his son, by the way, was a sincere believer. And in fact, he knew the hypocrisy of his father at an earlier occasion. We learned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was out for an expedition, Abdullah ibn Ubay said that when we reach Medina, the honorable one will expel despicable one, referring to himself that when I go to Medina, I'm going to expel the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba from Medina. So his son, when he found out, he actually stood at the entrance of Medina with a sword and he refused to allow his father to enter Medina. And it was only at the request of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he allowed his father to enter Medina. Anyway, he was a sincere believer, but when his father died, father is a father. And you want to do something. Ultimately, you want forgiveness for your loved ones. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and requested that, Ya Rasulullah, give me your shirt so that I can shroud my father in it. Can you imagine? Abdullah bin Ubay, someone who had hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many times in so many ways. He's the one who had invented the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had attacked his family personally. Remember what he did at Uhud? Abandoned the Muslims, took 300 people back to Medina with him. Every now and then he would create a new fitna to create problems for the Muslims. Like it was personal. Okay? Anyway, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me your shirt so that I can shroud my father in it. And he also requested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that please pray for him and seek forgiveness for him. If somebody were to come and ask you for your shirt, for someone who has always been an enemy to you, what would you do? You'd say, are you okay that you are even asking me? Like, what kind of request is this? You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? He took off his shirt and gave it to him. And he said, inform me when he is ready. Meaning when you're done with the ghusl and everything, inform me so that I can come and pray over him. So when they had done everything, they sent word to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to go and pray the funeral prayer for Abdullah bin Ubay. But Umar radiallahu anhu, he pulled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam aside and he said, hasn't Allah forbidden you from seeking forgiveness for the hypocrites? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has said, istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. Right? Seek forgiveness or do not seek forgiveness. So I am going to seek forgiveness. So he went and prayed over him. He prayed for Abdullah bin Ubay. And this incident only shows the great mercy that was in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great, great, great man he was. Subhanallah. What a clean, beautiful heart he had. How his akhlaq was truly the best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and prayed for him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. That وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا In clear terms, that you cannot pray janazah for any one of these hypocrites. You're not allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him. And so, after this, any of those hypocrites who had not repented, when any of them died in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray janazah for them. Nor did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go and pray for them at their grave. And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learned that Hudhaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, because he knew who these hypocrites were, he would also not go to the janazah of these hypocrites. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he knew that Hudhaifa knows the hypocrites. So Umar radiallahu anhu would always check. If Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was going for a janazah, he would also go. And if Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu did not go for a janazah, he would not go. So the dignity of this religion demands that hypocrites should not be given that respect and that honor, that privilege that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays janazah for them and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeks forgiveness for them. Also, this ayah shows that it is permissible to stand at the grave of somebody in order to pray for them. What is wrong is to pray to the one in the grave. All right? But what is permissible is that you pray for the one who is in the grave. Okay? Like, for example, your loved one, your relative, somebody has passed away. You're in a different country. Or even at the time of burial, you're not there. Afterwards, you want to go visit the grave. Is it permissible for you? Yes, it is permissible for you. Can you pray for them at the grave? Yes, you can. There's nothing wrong with them. In fact, this is something established in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُعْجِبَكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ. And let not their wealth and their children impress you. Abdullah bin Ubay was a wealthy man. Similarly, the rest of the hypocrites were wealthy people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be deceived. Do not be impressed by their wealth and their children, because إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah only intends to punish them through their wealth and children in this world. Their wealth and children are only a means of their punishment in the world. It's not an honor for them. It is actually a source of pain and misery for them. وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And their souls should depart, meaning at death, while they are disbelievers. Because their entire lives they spent chasing the world. And at the end of their lives, when they depart, they're still disbelievers. They never repent. And what deceived them is their wealth. What kept them away from tawbah is their love for wealth and their children. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم خلاف رسول الله وكرهوا أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله وقالوا لا تنفروا في الحر قل نار جهنم أشد حرا لو كانوا يفقهون فليضحكوا قليلا وليبكوا كثيرا جزاء بما كانوا يكسبون فإن رجعك الله إلى طائفة منهم فاستأذنوك للخروج فقل لن تخرجوا معي أبدا ولن تقاتلوا معي عدوا إنكم رضيتم بالقعود أول مرة فاقعدوا مع الخالفين ولا تصل على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقم على قبره إنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله وماتوا وهم فاسقون ولا تعجبك أموالهم وأولادهم إنما يريد الله أن يعذبهم بها في الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون